It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid, but that's what they don't like. Yeah, you gotta fear us. Fear, respect our authority. Ha. In the second segment, we'll get to Jon Stewart from The Daily Show doing their bit on Obama. And there's a part in there where everybody just starts laughing their butt off, and you don't see why. It's because they have the Cartman video from the South Park. It's a graphic up
respect
there.
Respect my authority.
Respect my authority. And that's what got him going, because he's doing the same kind of thing. Well, there's a free-bruno.com?
.org.
Okay, free-bruno.org. Tell us what's going on in L.A.
All I know is what's on that website, the initial article that's gone out, and there was an email from their meetup group and such. But, yeah, Bruno Brewiler is one of the head organizers of We Are Change L.A. He's a very active guy in anti-war stuff and 9/11 truth stuff and a lot of – he's also very big on individual sovereignty and those types of issues. And he could – he like Shelton, he could tell you all about admiralty law and all the crazy stuff the courts do and all that. So, like I said, all I know is what's on the website. But he goes to court with a friend who's facing an unrelated matter, and he's just there to support him. And the judge doesn't rule in his favor, and Bruno decides to shake his head in disagreement, you know, shaking his head back and forth, going, no, I don't agree with you. And the judge didn't like that very much and said, get out of my courtroom. No contempt charge, just get out of my courtroom. Bruno says, fine, I'll leave. I don't want to be here anyway, probably. So he walks out the door where he's greeted by a number of cops. I don't know how many, but a number of cops. And then they eventually ask him, put your hands behind your back and come in this room and we're going to have a talk with you. And who knows what they said to him in the hour that he was in this room. But when it was all said and done, he walked out in handcuffs on his way to county or whatever jail. And the charges are, disorderly conduct or something like that. And then now they have a trumped up terrorist threat charge. And I don't know, it doesn't really explain that in the article why that charge is there, but the headline is We Are Change LA's Bruno Brewiler versus terrorism charge. And there's an update on here, so I guess I haven't even seen that myself.
Well, we've gone through this before here, you know, the same kind of thing with Shelton. 4409 does a lot of videos on YouTube, has his own channel. He has 17,000-18,000 subscribers.
He's popular.
I mean, you know, this is like, I mean, heck, he makes money on his site, just so many, he has so much traffic. Well, what happens is, here, it was the same kind of thing. He was on a public sidewalk videotaping a camera fraud protest. And they go up to this journalist, you know, he has, you know, his Freedom's Phoenix journalism cards and all that kind of stuff. And they go, you got to give us your ID. He goes, why? I'm not getting the idea. I'm here on a public thoroughfare filming. You know, what do you care? And finally, they arrested him. They had five charges. It goes to trial. Before the trial was over, before defense didn't even have to present a defense, the attorney was my friend Mark Victor, my partner in the Freedom Summit, freedomsummit.com, where Dr. Paul has spoken three times. And it was just amazing. He's the attorney. He goes there and he goes, you know, if we stipulated that everything they said happened, there's still no crime. This is, you know, and the officer was like, well, I get ID from everybody. And I always, he goes, well, that's not Arizona law. That's not the law. I mean, yeah, so, you know, and the judge finally, it gets, the prosecutor did not want to try. The prosecutor is even, we're sitting there in the audience. It was me and Pal and Jet and Shelton and Tom Westbrook. And we're just sitting there watching this. And he goes, I'm willing to entertain an argument from the prosecution that the mere dispatch of an officer is evidence of a crime being committed, therefore everybody has to give their ID kind of thing. And the prosecutor's like going, Not from this prosecutor. I'm making that argument. That, you're really stretching that one. So finally the judge gets all mad, and he dismisses all the charges. And he goes, fine, it's done. Dismissed, done. Rule 20, 21, whatever it is, you just dismiss everything. It should never even got there. And we're all just sitting there. You would think it's like, you know, yay. And we all sat there looking at each other like, what the heck just happened? You know, this seriously, is this how it's done? And Mark turns around. And he's like, Ernie, I deal with this every day. It's like this. And even the Shelton, because he failed to cooperate on his bare feet when they had him in custody, they stomped a boot on his foot as a distractionary measure to get his fingerprints kind of thing. I mean, it's amazing what they do.
In the story on the website, free-bruno.org, they say that when he was in the jail cell, they put him in a secluded room and said it was really cold, wouldn't give him a blanket to the point where he passed out twice. And to me, that's torture. And then they're trying to soften him up so they can get him to say whatever they want him to say. And they picked
the wrong guy.
Well, they picked the wrong guy because with Shelton, they picked the wrong guy because he's relentless. With Bruno, they picked the wrong guy because he's the same type of mentality, you know, personality, and you know, he's well known, you know, anti-war activist, and you know, he's going to fight this tooth and nail. And so it'll be an interesting story as it develops.
Which is why they wanted to target him.
And there in the article, the first article they put up on that website, they make the case quite clearly that after within an hour, they knew who this guy was, and they knew he was anti-government type, and that he was, you know, a protester or a, you know, whatever they want to call him. So they knew they had somebody juicy, and they were going to screw with somebody who, you know, is already challenging.
Well, this is what Jen Napolitano and the Obama administration, Homeland Security, this is what they're talking about, being able to target domestic dissidents. This is, it's like, you might as well just, you know, print it in Chinese or Russian.
Yeah, it says here that he's facing California Penal Code 422, and it's a charge of terrorist threat. Terrorist threats have always been considered serious crime in the United States, but law enforcement agencies have become especially strict since the World Trade Center attacks on 9/11. I mean, so that's the charge they got him on. Well, what is a terrorist threat? I mean, don't we have freedom of speech? Can't I say whatever I want?
Well, we're going to follow this. We're going to find out what's going on. There's another little secret we've been holding off for weeks, and we can't really talk about it. But there's been national news has come, and they got in the can. We'll see when they air it. And when they do, we'll make a big deal out of it about the camera fraud. And it involves, I don't know, should we even talk about it?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll just wait till it comes out. This is going to be big. And it kind of dovetails into SB 1070. And we're creative. I mean, we make sure we get whatever. We want national coverage. We'll get it. But it doesn't come from us going, oh, please, you know, cover this story, or we need you to do a story on this and inform the public. And it has to be creative. It has to be fun. It has to be in their face. It has to be a challenge. There has to be a government number, you know, any arrest number or what number. But, you know, we get the word out. We always do. And that's why they're going to have to come after us. You know, Freedom's Phoenix, it's amazing. Everybody's like, how in the heck are you guys able to keep going doing what you're doing? And I'll tell you what the secret is. I never go after an individual. It's always a philosophy. It's a principle. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? And we do it with love. It's all about the love, man. And they come after, you know, they do. I'm just waiting. You know, they've had before, over the years, 22 years of me doing this, and they come after me many times. I've been pulled in court. I can't even keep track of how many court cases that I've had. But every single time, they come out way on the short end. They have no idea. We just sitting here waiting for them to come after it. You know, there's another thing. We're doing a mailing that's going out to libertarians in the next week, and they'll think of something. You know, they'll come after you're not allowed to something. You know, and we're just waiting. Come on, make my day. And this is the end game. It's going to get worse before it gets better. There is going to be blood in the streets, or already is. And it's to have officers that they have them selected. There's the guys that, you know, they know they want certain guys there that will do what they want. And they're usually wearing black with shields. No names, no nothing.
Look like stormtroopers.
And they will just come after you and do whatever and get you to safety. And a lot of times, the guys like this Julian guy, in Hinklin, or the older gentleman that we'll have him on the show here next week. He was passing out FIJA stuff, fully informed jury, and they will, as soon as they go to arrest or anything, he just goes limp. He's an old guy. He's probably in his 70s, you know, and he goes limp. He just lays on the ground. Do what you're going to do. I ain't helping. Okay. So of course they want to take him to Bellevue, you know, in New York, to take him. You know, he must be crazy. He's advocating for freedom. That's crazy work, you know. So I see where this is going. You know how I know that? This is a good story. When I get him on, I'm going to tell him this story. My mother-in-law works at Penn State University, where he used to be a professor. Okay. Every year at 420, he'd go out and light up a doob out in the front lawn at Penn State University. Oh, freedom, you know, and they'd never arrest him. One time I got a call from CBS one time wanting to try and get hold of him. I mean, they just, you know, did a search on Libertarian and my name came up. And they asked me, and I said, you know, I got a number for you to call. And I gave my mother-in-law's number. And they called my mother-in-law looking for it. She gave them the information for him how to get a hold of him. And I just, you know, I just laughing my butt off. And my mother-in-law has gotten so much more radical. She used to think I was crazy. Now she doesn't.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free.
Yeah, I want to break free.
I want to break free
from your lies. You know, that's all it gives me is satisfaction. Yeah, that's it. That's a new word. I just made it up. You know, we're going to go ahead and do the Obama dump by John Stewart. I want to make sure that we get this in here. Let me go ahead and do this real quick, and we'll go ahead and talk about it. There's a bunch of other news Drew and I'll go over, but let's go ahead and play this real quick. You guys will enjoy it.
We put some shows together before, but tonight's program, I kid you not, is watchable. Author James Tabor is our guest, who wrote a new book about the deepest cave on Earth. It's called The Heart. It's actual cave there, 7,000 feet down. As you know, earlier tonight, President Barack Obama unveiled his plans for the Gulf of Mexico and America's future energy needs. I was surprised watching the speech tonight. When both solutions turned out to be cars that run on oil-soaked pelicans. Yes. He introduced... Yes. It's actually the new 2010 Ford Sadness. Of course, the Gulf crisis was an unforeseen catastrophe. Barack Obama's real mission, when running for president, was to restore some of America's moral high standing that we had lost in the turmoil of the war on terror.
Guantanamo, that's easy. Close down Guantanamo, restore habeas corpus, say no to renditions, no to wireless wiretaps.
No, 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 please. I'm not done enjoying your applause yet. He was steadfast in his commitment to changing the culture of this very nation.
Part of my job as the next president is to break the fever of fear that has been exploited by this administration. That, you know, we're told...
You're spoiling me. Please, please. Save a little bit for the next thing I have planned to say. I hope you people brought gloves. Obama's reign would bring back the rule of law. If the Supreme Court said even terrorists at Guantanamo Bay deserve their day in court through the writ of habeas corpus, as they did in the Hamdan case, the Boumediene case, Barack Obama would honor that, not try and pull the old Bush flim-flammery.
The Bush administration decided that instead of bringing detainees to Guantanamo, they'd take them somewhere else, another location outside the jurisdiction of a court. Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan.
Hey, Supreme Court, where's Boumediene? Where's Hamdan? Is he under this nut? No. How about this one? Where is he? Wait, what's that? Oh, what's behind Kennedy's ear? Ooh.
I don't know. Normally you have three of these bad boys.
Yeah, that's Bush. That's Bush. Obama's a constitutional scholar whose entire campaign was based on change, doing the exact opposite of his predecessor to prove that the war on terror could be prosecuted without compromising our American values, or as he himself put it,
by giving suspects a chance, even one chance, to challenge the terms of their detention in court, we could solve this problem without harming our efforts in the war on terror one bit.
Just even one chance. So as the courts re-examine our ability to keep people indefinitely at Bagram, I imagine I can probably just put this silly shell game away forever.
Today, President Obama scored a victory to keep those detainees locked up indefinitely without even getting one chance to prove their innocence in court.
I've taken your prisoner. And I'm going to put a shell here. Michelle and I have talked about what we were going to do with the prisoner. I'm going to take this shell, put it on top of this one. Move the others around. Hey, hey, hey. That's my Barack Obama impression, where I just take my normal voice and just slow it down. Well, that's habeas corpus. That's only habeas corpus. That's the only thing that was thrown out there. One small, tiny, fundamental tenet of law. He also said he was going to end rendition. Yes, rendition. Rendition.
We also learned the Obama administration will continue the Bush policy of extraordinary rendition, the practice of sending terror suspects to prisons in third-party countries for interrogation.
Mr. President, does this guy know what you're doing?
We are going to lead by example, by maintaining the highest standards of civil liberties and human rights.
No more ignoring the law when it is inconvenient. That is not who we are. We will again set an example for the world that the law is not subject to the whims of stubborn rulers and that justice is not arbitrary.
What happened to Barry from the block? Have we been fooled by the Baracks that you got? Your campaign was premised on reigning in presidential power. What happened?
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
Oh. I see. You used to have a little, now you have a lot. Back in the old neighborhood, you used to say stuff like this.
Whether it was the run-up to the Iraq War or the revelation of secret programs, Americans often felt like part of the story had been unnecessarily withheld from them.
And now, you have your own secret military programs that go beyond even what Bush was doing. You didn't think we'd find out? You stumble in late at night.
Respect my authority.
You stumble in late at night. We're not blind. You stumble in late at night, reeking of power, little traces of classified on your collar. You're invoking state secrets to quash suits against the government. You're saying we might not need to read Miranda rights to American citizens. You're arresting whistleblowers who expose government waste. You're lucky Barack Obama is not all over your shit.
I know a little bit about whistleblowing and making sure that those folks get protection.
So by protection, did you mean sunblock? Condoms? Because arresting them doesn't seem like protection. Hey, why even bother arresting people at all? Next thing you know, you'll be sitting in the White House stroking a cat, having people killed at whim.
The White House has authorized U.S. counterterrorism operatives to kill Anwar al-Awlaki, Muslim cleric and American citizen born in Las Cruces, New Mexico in 1971, even if he is found far away from any combat zone.
Wow. All right, I mean, he's a bad guy, runs an al-Qaeda website from Yemen, but you complained when Bush just wanted to read Americans' emails without a warrant. Wait a second. All that power that you didn't like when someone else had it, you decided to keep it. Oh, my God, you're Frodo. You're Frodo! Mr. President, do you know what you need to do? Throw the ring into the fires of Mount Doom and destroy it. I know. You think you can be trusted with the power because you're not a bad person. You're just being stalked by a strange and twisted creature who wants to take the precious away from you. No, not him, the other one. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, Sarah Palin. You know, sound familiar? I mean, you know, Jon Stewart, is he back finally? Probably not. I mean, he went down the dark side on this healthcare thing, but you can see why he's so entertaining when he was doing that against Bush. And now that Obama's doing the exact same thing and worse, you know, how can you ignore it? You can't.
He's making the same jokes.
It's the same. It's culture. It's us. Change us. And these guys will follow.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
It just ain't the same. Always new change. New days are strange. Is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering. As the youth are young, so ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of them dividends. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
What's the truth?
Yeah, where's the love? It's right here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and in studio, Drew Phillips from We Are Change Arizona. And there's a lot of stuff going on. This whole movement is much larger than what a lot of people really understand. And it's not so wide as it is deep. It is very deep. You're going to have to waterboard people to get them to denounce the truth that they already know. So there's a lot of things going on. You know, we had a special guest for you scheduled for Wednesday. We were rescheduling for next week because I found out I have to leave Wednesday to go back to New Hampshire to Pork Fest thing. I'm really disappointed in that. But she'll be back. You know, this will be like her fourth time on with me. And it's Drew's good friend, Heidi Byrick from the Southern Poverty Law Center.
I've never met her. I don't know. She's not my friend. I've never met her in my life. Don't care to.
But she's targeted. She knows about you guys, though.
Well, actually, yeah. No, Jet and I, this is an embarrassing story, but the Southern Poverty Law Center came to town, and Jet and I said, okay, we'll go down and we'll film it, and Jet will interview her and all this. And I filmed some of the just regular conference. They had different speakers from the ACLU and different groups, and so then we go, okay, they wouldn't let us into the mayor's office. We wanted to go into the mayor's office where they were going to have this press conference, and they wouldn't let us in because our credentials are, 25-cent laminated badges from Kinko's or whatever. So they wouldn't let us in the mayor's office. So then we go to the public event, and I've taped some of the forum, but then after that we go, okay, well, let's go interview this girl, Heidi Byrick. And it's an embarrassing story, but I didn't push the button and I didn't tape it.
Oh, you're such a bad guy. So to try and make up for it, we got her on the show. And we had a friendly interview, but this is her title. She is Director of Special Projects for the Southern Poverty Law Center. Let me tell you what her special project is. They were really pushing up this racism thing here in Arizona and so on because, what do they call it, Hurriti Militia in Michigan, Huttery or something like that.
The guys that just got busted.
Yeah, they got busted. Well, they were looking for another bust because Janet Napolitano, she was prosecuting attorney of the Viper Militia here in Arizona. Well, one of the guys was a good friend of mine. I knew it was all made up crap that they did. In fact, the press back then going, this isn't really what they said. The same thing that's going on in Michigan. Well, I knew after when we did our Obama thing, that was because we had a guy, I can't remember what his name,
William Kostrick
in New Hampshire was at a protest and he's wearing a sidearm. Well, he always wears a sidearm because I'm going to disarm because I'm going to protest because Obama's going to be like a mile away or whatever. Well, they made a big deal. Chris Matthews, MSNBC, went all freaked out.
Bring a gun to a rally.
Yeah,
what's that make?
A GD gun. Yeah, I mean, he was going all on it. So then later I saw Chris Matthews on with Oberman, and Oberman did the GD thing too, trying to, you know, they're outdoing each other. Anyway, so they made a big deal out of this, and about a week later, Obama was coming here to speak at the Veterans of Foreign Wars deal, and I knew what was coming because he was from Scottsdale, you know, Kostrick was, and I'm going, oh, they go, yeah, he's part of that Arizona IA thing. We got to go take care of Arizona. Well, here comes Heidi Beirich, you know, kind of softening the ground, you know, getting in the press, and we got problems. We got trouble right here in Phoenix City, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm going, I see where this is going. So I called one of the confrontation prevention squad guys I've been working with for 15 years at the Phoenix Police Department. And I said, look, man, we know where this is going. He goes, yep, they're already setting the stage for everything. You're right. And he came down and we talked and he said, well, when Obama comes Monday, this is a Thursday. Yeah, and I go, I talked to him that night and he came the next day, Friday. And I go, Obama's coming again?
Yeah,
I
mean, we didn't even know.
Yeah, we didn't even know he was coming. We're like, again? I mean, he's always coming.
That was his third trip to Phoenix.
Yeah, like, you know, not very long. So we're going, all right, well, we'll be down there doing the show live. We did the morning show live with the Comrex and so on, and I had a 9mm on, and a bunch of other guys had guns on, and then Black Chris, okay? Chris comes with an AR-15 strapped on his back, and he's just one of the young revolutionary activists, and he was all motivated to, you know, he felt that he had to, you know, give this message or whatever. So he's all dressed nice in a white shirt and tie and did, you know, he's...
Very clean cut, very slick.
Yeah, he was looking all Louis Farrakhan's when he was looking. So that had him kind of upset right there. So I called him and I said, look, we got a guy that's going to bring an AR-15. Just, you know, we're not asking permission. We're just FYI, right? So they were pretty cool about it. I go, yeah, whatever, you know. So they, the police, they were cool about the whole
thing. Very cool about it.
And the reason was is because these busloads of Obama supporters for healthcare
union
or whatever.
Guys.
Yeah, the union from,
SCU,
you know,
whatever.
Tucson. Or, yeah, right. You know, they come in by the busloads, and they're just muscling people off and had megaphones in your freaking ear yelling, trying to clear their corner. And they're going down, they're getting the corner. We were already on, and they're just ready. They're stomping to get it. And they get right up to the corner, and all of a sudden they see us all with guns. And they went, and the crosswalk started backing up. And it's backed up for like 30 yards.
We won't try to push those people off.
They come up and they're like, top of the morning to you. You know, how you doing? It's all good. So it was all nice and peaceful.
An armed society is a polite society.
And the more armed we are, the more polite they got. So the officers were having fun with it. They thought it was funny as heck. So everything was cool. It made it a lot easier and so on. Everybody was freaked out. Not the Republicans there and the talk shows I went on locally here and everything, they weren't angry that we brought guns. They were angry because...
You trumped them.
Yeah, they wanted to talk about health care
right.
Or something. Didn't you get the memo?
They had a party in a cafe downtown near the thing where they were going to have a tea party, open forum, health care is bad, obviously. And yeah, and the story was the crazy libertarians with the guns, not the Republicans and their little PR thing.
And they were angry. And they get me on their radio show, and I know the host. And
Broomhead?
Yeah. Yeah. And he goes like this. He goes, well, this is all about health care. And so I'm going, he was speaking to veterans of foreign wars. How the heck does this have anything to do with health care? And I'm sorry, is there a memo that is sent out I didn't get or something? And so they were upset. I finally did one television interview I agreed to do. And the only reason was is because he's young and inexperienced, came down here, talked to one of the local affiliates for 20 minutes. They're just going on, you know, asking him stuff. And finally, one time he said, yeah, I hate Obama.
And that's all they aired.
Yeah, that's all they aired.
20
minutes.
And they were only interviewing him for 20 minutes because they wanted him to say that. They wanted him to say
the juicy thing.
They wanted
to get something. And they did that. And I go, Chris, what? He goes, well, I said all this others. I go, they don't care. They would have you there for 3 hours to get you to say something stupid. So, which, you know, not necessarily stupid. Having a black young man saying, I hate Obama. I mean, you know, but I better not say I hate anybody, certainly the president. But so the thing is, that became a bit. I go, look, I'll go do one show. So I went on CNN. I wouldn't do MSNBC because I knew they were lying sacks of snot. Because they would show Chris with his gun on his back, but they never showed what?
That he was black.
That he was black. So I do the CNN thing, and I said, look, I know what's coming. You know, they're gearing this. This is like a three-act play, and this is just the first act of them coming in. They're going to do some big militia thing in Arizona. Well, I guess, you know, I know who these guys are. I know what they're doing. Janet Napolitano was the leading prosecutor on this stuff. She became attorney general, governor, now head of Homeland Security. I already know where this goes. So they had me on for like three times as long as they anticipated, trying to get me to
say something stupid.
And you go CNN, Ernest Hancock, and you'll see it. You know, I slap him around, Rick Sanchez on CNN. We had fun. But the point is that we got across what we wanted. Well, then, of course, we have the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, Heidi Beirich. And it's like, I'm like, Heidi, come on down. Well, what it was is she called me, wanted to talk to me, because I went to Jekyll Island thing with We the People, Bob Schultz deal. And my whole thing was, I go, look, if you don't have none of the above as a choice on no government, then I'm not going to your Continental Congress. I just want to know, I'm here just, are you going to have none of the above as an option? I just want it as an option. What, I got to pick one of your guys' thing? I go, can I pick none? So I know all these guys, so I was nice, and we had a good time. But Adam Kokesh and I, we wouldn't sign on to their stuff because it's just reconstituting, you know, how we got here. But so she wanted to know everything. I said, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to talk to you live on my radio show. So she came on. And she's probably been on at least three times, and this will be the fourth time. We get along fine. She gets to ask what she wants, say what she wants. I say what I want. It's all good. So everybody's all freaked out that, how in the heck do you get the Southern Poverty Law Center special, you know, director of special projects come on your show?
Well, you ought to have Chris in here when you get her on, because he is an individual named on their list of patriot terrorists. You know, Alex Jones, and even Glenn Beck somehow got on that list, and William Kostrick is on that list. Luke Radowski's on the list. They got
organizations too. I mean, they had, yeah, it's like, you know, Bob Schultz and Ron Paul and, you know, Chuck Baldwin and Gary Franchi, all these guys that we know, everybody except me. I'm like, what the heck, Heidi? What the heck do I got to do? And she goes, well, we're not going to put you on the list because we know you want to be on it.
Well, I'm not on the list personally, but we are Change Arizona. In every state, they list, you know, all these militias that are probably fake. And then at the very end of each state, they just put We Are Change from that state. So, what, because I hang out with a black guy who happens to own an AR-15? I mean,
So we got that for you next week.
So I want to ask her.
We'll get Heidi on again, you know, and it's always entertaining. I mean, it's just, but, you know, she's nice enough about it. They're just, you know, a cog in la machine.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap B-movie. Headlong down the highway. And you're rushing headlong out of control. And you think you're so strong. But there ain't no stopping and you can't stop rocking. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yes, there is. There's all kinds of stuff you can do about it. Drew Phillips is one of the do about it guys. You know, there's some other guys there, some do something about it guys too. And that's Motorhome Diaries. I remember they toured the country. They were involved in a lot of different, you know, anti-war, anti-government, stuff. And Bureau Crash. You know, Pete Henry, you know, he was with Bureau Crash there for a while, which was an effort. And a lot of times, a lot of these people, they finally grew to understand that trying to change Washington or congressmen or dealing with the media, that is a freaking waste of time. It's us. That's why Freedom's Phoenix is so different. It's all about us. So what we did is we opened up our workshop to them, and they did a tour, and they came by here, and they went, ooh, y'all be fine. They're having all kinds of fun with that. So they would go around, do videos, different activist groups around the country. Well, now they got another thing. What are they doing now, Drew?
They're coming back. Liberty on Tour. And I'm really excited because their RV that they got, that they did this Motorhome Diaries thing with, it's, you know, what, like 20-footer RV, whatever, and they painted it gold and black, and they put all these cool bumper stickers all over.
It's like 35-foot. It's a big RV.
Yeah, big, you know, RV. And they were thinking about selling it after the Motorhome Diaries thing. They finished that tour. They were thinking about selling it, and I really was sad to see that was going to happen. But, no, they've brought it back to life, and, I mean, the car's fine, and they're going to do another tour, 13 cities in 13 weeks, and they start way up on the northeast coast in New York, come through Pennsylvania, and then through St. Louis, all the way to San Francisco, down to San Diego, then through Arizona, Texas, and they're going to end up in Miami, Florida. So 13 cities in 13 weeks and probably a few more stops in between that they'll throw in there. But, yeah, Phoenix is on the map, and they saw an email alert thing that they put it out there. Hey, this is when we're coming. It's mid-September. They'll be in Phoenix, and they're like, what do you guys want to do, or do you have any ideas, or you know, I've got an email back, or you'll see him this week, and the guys will figure out what's up. But
yeah, we'll have a party, do something.
But yeah, it's,
I mean, all the youngins come out, and it's a party.
And I really like the concept of this motorhome, and they live in it, and they go, and they just make videos, and they blog on their website, and they do, you know, use all the social networking stuff to communicate with people, and it's just a living experiment of liberty.
Well, you know, they got a big, giant boost on the internet when they were going through
Canada.
Canada was one. I mean, Mississippi.
Yeah, they go try to go into Canada through the border, and they get stopped, papers, please, kind of thing. And they said, you're a little too subversive for Canada. I'm sorry, you have to turn this around. And,
yeah, they had a meetup. They were going to a meeting up there, and they said, nah, you know, they have way too much subversive stuff on your RV. Well, they've repainted it. You know, it's blank now, and they're selling advertising. So Ben, one of the activists here, he goes, Ernie, man, they're doing it. So I called Pete. I know Pete, and I said, hey, man, I'm down, man. What do you need? So we're working out a deal with them. We're going to have a bunch of Freedoms Phoenix and Declare Your Independence and stuff on the RV in prominent positions. So I'm like, yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about.
And what's really cool about what they're doing is you can see it on their, I think it's libertyontour.com. I'll try to post a link later when I get in front of the computer. But they're taking dollars for advertisement. It's one of the way they fund this type of project. But they'll give out, you know, Freedoms Phoenix material that we could mail to them now, and then they would, along their route, they would give out the material that we wanted them to give out, and they would wear your T-shirt or do whatever. And
yeah, that's part of their package.
Right, and other organizations can all get in on this, and you check out their, I'll post their YouTube video to Freedoms Phoenix. They did this really polished YouTube, and their whole goal is educate, put it on the road, and we're going to drive around. And yeah, Pete Ayer is a very he's got a great mind and understanding of the concept of liberty, and Adam as well. And so these guys get in and jump in the RV, and they're going to spread the message, and I think that's really a neat way to do it.
Yeah, no, they had a lot of respect. They have a lot of fun. They got a lot of people that, you know, sign the ceiling.
And they only got arrested once.
And yeah,
that was the story you were going to tell.
What I was going to say is that they had all the people sign it. You know, of course, like Ron Paul, you know, was interviewed there, and, you know, and me and all that kind of stuff. And of course, I got signed really big, you know, it's Ernest Hancock thing. You know, so I go, all right, give me a big space here, you know. So what happened is they were going through Mississippi. There was a place that Jackson County, and it was well known as being a trap. You know, they were just, you know, pulling people over left and right, and they just pulled them over because they could. And they were videotaping, and they're like, oh, heck no, you're not allowed to videotape. Became a big deal. They arrested him, impounded Marv, all this kind of stuff. And within moments, because they tweeted while
seconds,
it was happening,
yeah,
and had a photograph or a little video, and it went up on the internet instantaneously before they even got to the station, all of a sudden people are calling, they're raising money, armies are coming in. Man, they had no freaking idea what they got up against on that one. They went, wow.
It was a very powerful thing to see the freedom movement jump behind these guys, and, you know, people were on the ground. They you know, got in contact with the local libertarians of that county, you know, and they were able to go and get all the money to bail them out and all this stuff. I mean, it was...
And bail out Marv, which is the RV.
The RV, yeah, Marv. Mobile Authority Resistance Vehicle. It's really a cool thing to see the car, and their newest video is really... Yeah, again, I'll try to get that up tonight. It's really cool stuff. But so I'm just really excited, and like I said, I got a little thing from them, and they have their plan and their itinerary kind of generally mapped out, so they want to know what kind of trouble can they get into in Phoenix, Arizona in mid-September. I don't know, but it's going
to
be fun.
I'm like, which thing? I mean, you know, there's so much stuff going on. You know, if you go to freedomsphoenix.com and today's archive for the show for June 21st, and you click in the afternoon show, and you'll see there'll be a link there. It'll say Liberty on Tour below, you know, some of the stuff that we were talking about today. You just click on that, it'll take you to it. But, you know, it's libertyontour.com. So they
ill prepared, but
yeah, you know, you put it in Google, it'll come up. They did a nice video saying, well, we're going to do it again. It was really well done, and they're good guys. I mean, these are good people. These aren't, you know, and they're clean cut, you know, military looking fit, young, you know, can articulate whatever freedom message you want. And it's great to have these guys out as representatives, and they don't back down. They can't, because if they did, they'd lose their support. So they're not being stupid. They're not going out and, you know, spitting on policemen's shoes.
Maybe I'll try to post this one. Great, great video that Pete did. He was in New Mexico, and his girlfriend gets pulled over. Apparently it's illegal to talk on your cell phone in New Mexico. So he comes rushing up with the camera. You know, he wants to document and make sure everything's good with his traffic stop. And he has his sidearm on his hip. So he walks up to the cop with the sidearm. You know, he didn't pull his gun, but it's sitting there, you know, open carry. And the cop, oh, you get over on the other side of the street. And he says, no, it's all good. I'll go stand on the side of the street, hold my camera up, and I'm just making sure everybody's accountable on this. So then the girl drives off, and he, you know, starts walking back to the car, and the cop comes back up behind him and says, you know, why are you coming up on me with a gun? He says, I didn't come up with you on a gun. It's illegal in the state of New Mexico to open carry. Whole thing goes through, you know, well, do you have your ID? Can we see your ID? The same old story. And by the end, it's Pete going, well, you guys have a nice day. I'm going to go now. And he kind of walks backwards with the camera still facing these two officers, and then finally turns around and turns the camera back around and just walks off. Says, have a nice day. I don't have to show you my papers. I didn't do anything wrong. Leave me alone. Am I free or not? And
this is, I tell
that's
you.
That's the courage of this guy, Pete, anyway.
Well, this is where this is going. You know, are you allowed to complain? Are you allowed to just walk around free? Are you allowed? You're not bothering anybody. You know, you're just holding them accountable. I mean, are you allowed? They need to retrain these officers. In fact, that's why we have such a good rapport with the Phoenix police right up until we don't. But, you know, so far, because I've known these guys for, since 94. You know, early January of 94, Martin Luther King, when I first got my arrested for holding a sign kind of thing, Janet Reno came, and I was just holding a sign that said, you know, legalize freedom, register libertarian. Well, what I didn't know, even though I was far away, I was over the shoulder of the television shot they were going to get where she was going to get out of her car. And there was no way in Hades they were going to have a word libertarian doing anything around down the... So they had to get rid of me. And I knew the law. You know, by then I'd been in my lawsuit on election law and all this stuff and First Amendment things. And I knew that they can't do this. I'm just going to stand here. Well, eventually they arrested me. They let me go 20 minutes later and we went right back. But it was in a big lawsuit and it went on for... a year, and we just make a big deal out of it. At that time, the Phoenix Police, the Confrontation Prevention Squad that they had, sat there and watched it happen because they're dealing with Secret Service and FBI and that kind of thing. And I go, you guys, what good are you? You know, why are you here? But since then, they've been really good. They go, yeah, we know they're going to sue. We know they're going to have video. We know that we're going to look bad. So we're here to protect the city of Phoenix from them. They are there to keep the rogue 27-year-old, you know, respect my authority, left jackboot, right jackboot on your throat guy, you know, from hassling us. That's their job. And they know us. They know we're peaceful. We don't destroy property. We're not the, you know, we're not salted with some anarchist out there throwing rocks at something or whatever. You know, they know that we'll pound on him, you know, for doing it. So we always have a really good rapport with them right up until there'll come a time when we won't. When they will want to instigate something, when they want to do what they're doing to these guys going around, it's just they know it's going to be difficult. Because whenever they do stuff, and they say the stupidest thing on camera. I mean, you know, Shelton's out there, they're holding up signs, going, and the cop on camera says, you know, we'll make something up if we want to.
Yeah, that one was great.
I was going, are you kidding? I show it to Al Ramirez, which is the, you know, the officer for the confrontation thing, and I said, do you guys even talk to these people? And you say, don't be stupid.
That cop got reprimanded for that. He did get in trouble for that video.
At least.
You know, I got smacked on the wrist. But.
Well, I want a little something in the file or something just for being stupid. Yeah. You know, just don't be stupid. And now everybody's got an iPhone. Everybody's got a smartphone. Everybody's got a little, you know, video de la whatever. Heck, I just bought my son daughter-in-law a video camera for our grandkids videotaping. The whole thing's flash drives. Doesn't even have tape. And the thing records like 50 hours of video.
It probably weighs less than half a pound.
Yeah, it's like a little, you put it in a, I saw one, a guy had it in New York, one of the We Are Change guys I met up there, and he keeps it in his backpack in a Campbell's soup can to protect it. That's how small they are.
Nice.
You know, I'm going, wow. You guys think wow.